today.
Uncle says, he says, what do you think? I guess the language is a little stronger. He says he works right along. He says limbs the tree right along with us. And he says he's the other end of the crosscut saw, and he does just as much as we do today. He says, I don't know why it's so. He isn't worth it. So I didn't hear no more about it. My uncle told me about it afterwards. I see him talking about one end, edge of the store. But I do think that a lot of this child labor is off too. Because I know she worked, you know, for a little nothing to go to school. And when I was out in Toledo, I sold papers and stuff like that. And the time I was 11 years old, I bought my own clothes.
When did you start sawing with a crosscut saw?
Early teens, middle teens. Whenever needed. They used to cut the wood pile up a lot like that. Friday did. And I cut along with him. And same with the axe. I know one time he had an axe, he'd sharpened up his old splitting axe. And I worked out a while. He came over and says, here, use my axe a while. He says, you ain't going to use that axe all the time. So we took turns. Mine wasn't as sharp or anything as his regular axe. If you want to start a war back in those days, you want to pick up somebody else's axe or cano without asking. If you ask, it's all right.
So cant hooks were that special as well.
A lot regular logger. Well, so if you knew we were working together and it was more mutual understanding, it's all right. But if you walked over and picked something up like that without asking, you heard about it.
I talked with Mrs. Brooks the other day, mm-hmm. and she was talking. She and her husband, I guess, did some logging in the wintertime, and she helped him with a crosscut saw.
Well, when we first came up here, we couldn't afford a chainsaw or anything, so we had a crosscut saw. And we decided to fix the house up a little bit. And down where our pat lives, we had some nice black cherry. So I went down and I needed somebody on the other end, so Hester got on the other end.
I've never had a crosscut saw in my hand before.
So she got on one end and I on the other, and we cut the logs, I skid them out, got them down here at the little sawmill. I worked a number of years down here at Baird's Mill, probably about 30 years. And they sawed them up.
Is that the mill right on 17?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It isn't running now in the wintertime, but they used to send their wholesale of stuff to Plant Griffith down in Jonesville, and then mm-hmm. they got off and then they got market around here. Now it's down in the wintertime, so it just runs in the summertime, the boy. So I worked with him as far there and then worked with him. And they sent down Plant Griffith and dressed it out. I think 14 years after we got it back, I got the paneling up. But that's all this paneling around here. So, and there has been not anything done, it's just been put up.
That's just the raw lumber.
Nothing, it's just the way it was.
That's great.
And she has to help cut them. I fixed an old cab, a pickup. I put on a set of wheels. I got the tractor by then. And we take the kids and that. We go down there in the fall. And let them run the thing. We cut that out. Cut it in. And when I was working, Hester never worked outside before. She always worked in the house. We got married. She'd have the house all cleaned up, ready by about 8 o'clock. She helped hay. To this day, she'd load a better load of hay than most men.
I never lost one.
A lot better than I could, because I always did the pitching on. I think it used to make her mad, though, is when I went about midnight, we'd be putting on some hay, and I'd put on a few forkfuls, and then we'd lose it on the side hill or something.
Okay.
And when it come to plowing, I remember I was plowing over in another place. She'd go over for an hour or so, and she said, you get nervous to quit. But I'd put her up against most any man for the furrows and stuff that she plowed, and that was rough going. It'd always been plowed to horses before, and a big plow went deeper, and it hit a lot of stone and stuff.
Wow.
And the old Riley Moulton lived down the hill. He said, one year didn't have a car, so he used the tractor to go down Saturdays to get the groceries and grain. She'd come on the hill with that. I'd go down to the little mill and get sawdust, and I had box sticks in the back end of it. He said she'd drive the tractor better than a lot of men, and she'd come up with that. She never worked out before she got here.
You were a good teacher.
Well, I don't think it made her mad. She got just below the house a couple, two Saturdays in a row, and couldn't quite make it. She wasn't as heavy as I was. I had to let clutch out and the brake on each side. You'd ride the blake, first one, then the other. She come up here sputtering, so I went down. She just told me that anything I could do, that she could, I could do, she could do better. So I brought up two Saturdays in a row. I brought up and I parked it. And then I come in, I said, anything you can do, I can do better. I should have stayed out of the house. I was in the doghouse for a little while. She didn't say much, but the way she took it, well, I was just joking.
Uh-huh.
But if it come any jokes, she could get them on off on me.
Uh-huh.
She gets me. When the Vassar boys got married, I told her, I said, well, I said, another poor sucker, I said, ran around by the nose or something like that. And I just said, and I took my nose like that. She just said, nose all twisted out of shape, isn't it? I said, yeah. She says, you don't lead very well, do you? So she'd get something like that on me. And I had to. A girl, I had an apartment house up in Berry for a little street, on Berry Street, not there for a while. The first year, a couple wasn't bad, but after that, with all their HUD and tenants' rights and all that, it was a losing proposition. I managed it just about hold even, but I didn't count my time, and I got rid of it. I kept it a little longer because I had a good girl in there to run it, a woman. Otherwise, I got rid of it probably 10 years before I did. So I had this woman to haul up. She was always complaining or something like that. She worked for the state, the art, something with the arts, you know. And I guess she thought she was better than the other tenants, so they didn't like her either. But she called up and we had a table full, I guess my boys and some of their, you know, families and that, out here at the table. She went in and honey drip off her voice. She wanted something and I told her no. And I was trying to keep flowing my top, listening to her. So I was trying to keep down. I said something about come back out. And said, well, I said, I said something about say. You talk like there's honey dripping off her voice. And Tess says, did you ever listen to yourself? Of course, the rest of them thought that was a big joke. But you see, she can get me once in a while too.
Good for her.
Here I was trying to keep from blowing my top and talk halfway civil, and she.
Well.
Tight. And we had something. We said something about the same way. Just they were going to eat. The ones that were going to spoil our appetite. They couldn't eat lunch. They were mad at us for it. We just pulled it right around on them.
How did your family happen to go out to the Midwest?
My uncle's a contractor out there. He went out when he was a young fellow. In fact, I think he said when he was early 20s, he helped build a barn up where Willie Bragg lives.
Oh,
and when they
1914 it was.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And he was a young fellow anyway. It was earlier than that. I think it was
1912.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Cause that made him, well, early 20s or mm-hmm. middle 20s. And so anyway, they said when he got done, they got them putting it up that he walked the ridgepole. Of course, it's still just the rafters in that the ridgepole, you know, is a timber side. And they said he walked that one end to the other. And the lower end was up there in the air because I helped my father patch that roof for Carl Long before Willie went up there. And he went down the rope. I stayed above and stubbed the rope. And he went down the rope around his waist down over that double hip because he didn't have ladders or he didn't have them to get it. And he patched that roof that way. And I was up on top of the thing, and I tell you, that was a long ways down.
And he just walked the ridgepole?
Yeah.
I fall off a log going across a brook.
And when he's out in Toledo, of course, my uncle, he was, said one time he's driving, you may know, you only want it around here instead of what I said out there, you know. But, anyway, he was, say, driving along one night, some fellow jumped on the running board and sees the fellow's gun before he bring it up. Almost stepped on the gas, hit him the same time, took off. And another time, along the depression, he was in the bank. I think I've got the article somewhere. They robbed the bank. He said he's talking to the bank president. And he looked up and said, well, walked in holding a gun on him. And Uncle says, maybe a gun doesn't look too big to you. Look down the barrel of it. And he said, that was as big as a cannon. And so they told him to get in the vault. And one of the tellers tripped the thing so they couldn't lock it. And the fellow threatened to shoot her for that. But he said, you stay in there for 5 minutes. So he said, we'll shoot you. And they got out. They got away with a few thousand.
This was in Toledo?
Yeah.
Gosh.
And he got out and he got away. But I had my uncle's thing, the paper on it. I remember another thing happened out there. There was we had by the house, a big mansion on a hill. And the fellow owned it had been hit and broke his leg. And they had him in the hospital. And he'd been, his daughter, wife and daughter, wasn't sure knew he was in business, but didn't know just what it was. And they took him to the hospital. When they found out, he had his chauffeur drive him up to a corner in the city every day and pick him up at night. But during the day, he was a cripple on a cart, begging, and that's how he got the thing. And that come out, and his wife and daughter took off and left him. And that's how he was making a good living and begging.
Gosh.
And he was out there during the Depression to come home in 32. And I must have been almost 30, 31. I remember the blind fellow went up the street there. He was singing, and he had probably a 12-year-old girl leading him. It was probably his daughter. So people come out all over the street and give him some for that. He must have made it real good. I guess he really was blind.
Hmm.
That's right in the Depression.
That's amazing.
But I always remember that.
Mm.
And then there's an old fellow at work, Uncle Dunn. He'd show up once in a while. He's no hobo. Monk used to hire him for, go for it, you know, things. And nice old fellow. And so my uncle used to hire him partly because I guess he's one of the first ones my uncle started hiring, and he came back just for the summer. And the old fellow, we were going out, the first year I was out there, being 26, my uncle had the contract put on all cement walks in the consolidated schools. That's when they were first doing it out there. I think it was four of them. And we were going out to one of them one morning, and my uncle had a Model T. He'd rigged over a beautiful cab and stuff on it. And we were riding the back end, and I see something in the ditch, so I mentioned it. And Friday the monk said, oh, you don't know what you saw. They didn't pay no attention to us. Well, the next day we found out this fellow had hired a cab driver to take him up to Detroit, 60 miles away. And the cab driver knocked him head and took $60 off him. And the old fellow, the old Charlie, they call him, he said he thought he'd see something too. They didn't think we knew what we were talking about. Of course, I was only about 9, 10 years old. But that was it.
Gosh.
But in those days, they talk about houses nowadays. How long it takes. My uncle used to put up in 9 months. Didn't have much during the winter except little odd jobs. But during the 9 months, they put up three good big two-story houses.
Wow.
And have them all finished to move in during the summer. And they just, my uncle, my father, and about two others.
Gosh.
And sometimes it'd be three. They had the old Charlie, but he wasn't around on about 2-3 years. And they'd put him up and they'd finish him. And everything was done by hand. You didn't have
yours. That's incredible.
Today,
yeah,
I can see why.
Well, yeah, you're right.
We had them here.
Yeah. They have a bank saw or something, clear one end, and they go up the other, and they measure board and come down and cut it off and then lug it back.
Mm-hmm.
And those little, well, what was it? The Empire State Building. I think it took a year, 18 months to build, something like a million and a half. Today it cost way over $200-300 million, I guess.
Probably.
And 3 years to do the same work.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I better.
And she was, the song was, her husband murdered her for something. And the tune was to the Old Oaken Bucket.
Uh-huh.
I'm a little bit tongue-tied in some ways, a lot of ways. But that's what it was. And I can't remember what something about it from, you know.
You don't remember?
Riding around by the hair or something. But I don't remember the words.
Do you remember the title?
No. If I, you know.
Probably if you see some of the words in that, it would.
But I do know one old song, Claire's Food.
Well, how about singing it?
I'm a singer.
Well, let's hear it. Recite.
It's about 1,014 verses to it. See, he hitched. He hitched up his pig and hitched up his cow and plowed up his land as the devil knows how. With the right leg, left leg, upper leg, under leg, out of the economy, Raleigh. The devil, he came along one day, said, "I came to come to take your son away." And that was it. "Oh, Mr. Devil, don't take my son, for if you do, I'm all undone. Pray you just, Mr. Devil, pray take my wife, because she's nagging and scolding me all my life. And up, right leg, left leg, upper leg, under leg, out of the economy, Raleigh." So the devil, he stuffed her into his sack and went down the road with a pack on his back. And the devil, when the devil he came to a ditch, he said, "Get in, you blamed old witch." And, see. With the right leg, left leg, upper leg, under leg, under the economy, Raleigh. 9 little devils were standing there, under the economy, Raleigh. Nine little devils were standing there. I probably could write it down better than I could. And she lifted their leg and she kicked them into the fire with the right leg, left leg, upper leg, under leg, under the economy, Raleigh. I probably could sing it better, but you wouldn't like
my
singing.
What's the tune? What's the tune?
Well, I'll start over. Let's see how was it. "Oh, he hitched up his pig and he hitched up his cow, out of the economy, Raleigh. He hitched up his pig and he hitched up his cow, out of the economy, Raleigh. He hitched up his pig and he hitched up his cow, and he plowed up his land, and the devil knows how, with the right leg, left leg, upper leg, under leg, out of the economy, Raleigh. The devil, he came along one day, out of the economy, Raleigh. The devil, he came along one day, out of the economy, Raleigh. The devil, he came along one day, said, 'I've come to take your son away, with the right leg, left leg, upper leg, under leg, on a debonomy, Raleigh. Hey, Mr. Devil, don't take me, son, on a debonomy, Raleigh. Oh, Mr. Devil, don't take me, son, on a debonomy, Raleigh. Oh, Mr. Devil, don't take me, son, for if you do, I'll be all undone. With the right leg, left leg, upper leg, under leg, on a debonomy, Raleigh." Well, the devil, he stuffed her into his sack, on a debonomy, Raleigh. The devil, he stuffed her into his sack, on a debonomy, Raleigh. The devil, he stuffed her into his sack, and he went down the road with a pack on his back, with a right leg, left leg, upper leg, under leg, under the economy, Raleigh. Well, the devil, he came, then the devil, he came to a ditch, under the economy, Raleigh. The devil, he came to a great big ditch, under the economy, Raleigh. The devil, he came to a great big ditch, and said, "Get in, you blamed old witch, with a right leg, left leg, upper leg, under leg, under the economy, Raleigh." Oh, 9 little devils are standing there, out of the economy, Raleigh. Oh, 9 little devils are standing there, out of the economy, Raleigh. 9 little devils are standing there. She hoisted their foot and kicked them into the fire with a right leg, left leg, upper leg, under leg, out of the economy, Raleigh. Oh, 9 little devils all rattled their chains, out of the economy, Raleigh. 9 little devils all rattled their chains, out of the economy, Raleigh. 9 little devils all rattled their chains. She hoisted her foot, she kicked out their brains with the right leg, left leg, upper leg, under leg, out of the economy, Raleigh. 1 little devil peeked over the wall, out of the economy, Raleigh. 1 little devil peeked over the wall, out of the economy, Raleigh. 1 little devil peeked over the wall, said, "Take her back or she'll kill us all, with the right leg, left leg, upper leg, under leg, out of the economy, Raleigh." The devil, he stuffed her into his sack, out of the economy, Raleigh. The devil, he stuffed her into his sack, out of the economy, Raleigh. The devil, he stuffed her into his sack and carried her home with a pack on his back, with the right leg, left leg, upper leg, under leg, out of the economy, Raleigh. This shows that women are better than men, out of the economy, Raleigh. It shows that women are better than men, out of the economy, Raleigh. It shows that women are better than men. They can go through hell and back again with a right leg, left leg, upper leg, under leg, out of the economy, Raleigh. The shows that, this is all of me tale that I have to tell. Honor divine me, Raleigh. The show, all of my tale that I have to tell. Honor divine me, Raleigh. This is all of my tale I have to tell. He killed 19 devils and conquered hell with a right leg, left leg, upper leg, under leg. Honor divine me, Raleigh. And I heard that from, I think it's my mother's uncle. And I think he and his wife are maybe one of the last old, well, hillbillies, mountain people around. And neither one had too big an education. But they still talk with the old accent and stuff. And they're always dirt poor. But the,
great,
we used to visit them once in a while. And he sang out, that was one I happened to remember.
Oh, I love it.
And he and his half-brother went up to the Yukon Gold Strike. And I guess they would have starved to death if they both were untrained singers, but they got singing around these saloons and stuff, and the others had stuck it enough, they got enough to eat, get back, you know, come back. But he worked in a mine there and had a cave in that crushed his feet. So the rest of his life he wore his right shoe on the left foot and the other on the right.
Did he come back here to face
him? Well, up in Waitsfield, but a good way up in back. Yeah. And that's one I remembered.
Song.
He used to sing that, but that's the kind of, I guess they sang up near, up in the Yukon, you know.
I'll see if I can find out about this song you told me about from here, about the murder and dragging the woman around by the hair. Because there is an index. And I'll look up songs from Waitsfield.
And some woman here, I forget what her name was, I read in one of the magazines.
Jennifer Post, probably.
Probably, and she had the song about Charlotte.
Oh, Margaret
and
McCartney.
My mother used to sing that a lot.
Uh-huh.
And it was supposed to have been somewhere around central Vermont here.
Yes.
I think my mother said somewhere about where it was. The Altamont Fair, I think it was, up around in that section. And they knew about it. And then there was a another song that they used to sing, it's about this woman coming out of church. It's something about meeting him. It's in some child or something. It's just I remember that one verse though. It's down in a deep dark dungeon on a bed of moldy straw. Something about no covers for the bed or something. There's somebody laying there. And on the table across the moldy bread or something like that. And then it told about before she went in there about the preacher that Sunday talking about some aid to somebody off in Zanzibar or some such place, and then come back to that.
Do you remember the tune for that?
See. Down, down in a deep, dark dungeon on a bed of moldy straws. And that's the other is mixed up, so I committed it. And then, let's see, there's one mother used to sing, and said her father used to sing it to my grandmother. And I think her first name was Mariah or something like that. My mother's, not sure my mother's middle name, but she's named after her mother. And it's something about, see. As I was out walking one morning in spring, the flowers were blooming, the birds they did sing. And something about come up to a stream, a girl washing her clothes. And I guess she wanted to go away with him or something, she says, or marry him or something, she says, to marry, kind sir, I'm too young. My papa and mama, to marry, kind sir, I'm too young. To marry a young man with a flattering tongue. My papa and mama quite angry would be if I were to marry a rover like thee. I stepped up beside her, and I made a low bow, and what I said to her, I will tell you right now. And it goes on, or he leaves her anyway. And
Those are neat.
But that's all I remember of it.
We gotta get him thinking about the old songs.
Well, I like I said, I don't know.
How about Fair Charlotte? If you thought about that.
Well,
do you remember the tune that she would sing it to?
Yeah, it was in a thing that posted something. I think it was one of hers, and she'd probably tell you. Yeah, I'll see how it. I don't know if I can get it. I'd have to, if I remember enough of it. But I remember Mother singing. She knew it clear through. And these others she did. She, I got an aunt, but she's in a nursing home, and her mind comes and goes. And she might know them, but she's down in Massachusetts. No, she's down in
Bennington.
Bennington. And I haven't been to visit her for a number of years because of that. But we used to go down and see her. And they used to, on the mother's side,
the
girls and all used to sing that. I don't know if the fellows did, but the girls did. They used to get together and play an organ or that. When we went to Toledo, I remember mother had an organ, and today I don't know how much it'd be worth, but I think it went for either $6 or $10. And it had bells and chimes and everything mixed in with it. I've never seen or heard organ before or since, but it did. It had chimes in it and some kind of bells that you could mix in with your playing.
God.
And it was a beautiful organ, you know, and it's a nice shape. But they sold it, had an auction before I left, and it went for something like that. Then you probably had about 3 or 4 zeros on it.
You're darn right.
But it did. It was up in nice shape. I remember it. My mother and my aunt used to love to play and sing, and used to.
But you got a great voice. I love your voice. He's got a good voice. You would make him sing more.
Before the war, or even a short while after war, there wasn't a night except Sunday, but you couldn't find a dance around somewhere, around the valley or Montpellier or somewhere. It was all within, you know, short driving distance. And they used to be one up in Duxbury, I remember especially when I was small. I was probably about 5 years old. Folks used to go there. And they'd go after chores at night, and they go all night, get back for chores in the morning. And when I was small, mother used to put me on the stairway. That's about where the White House is, across where Camp Navajo is now. The White House there on your left, going over toward Waterbury. Well, that used to be a two-story house, and they had what's called a spring floor in the dance hall. And I don't know if any of them have today, but the whole floor would bring a fellow they call Crazy Chase.
Yeah.
He could play anything. They claimed one time he's down in Boston, broke, and went in to get something to eat or something. They told the fellow he couldn't pay him, but he'd play for him. Also, I'll give you a meal and your trip home. You know, a few dollars in those days. He says, you can play some in everything I name. It was there for an hour or more, and the fellow named the thing off, he'd play just as fast as the fellow could name it off. And anyway, I went there, and must have been about 11 o'clock at night, middle of the night anyway, they'd have a big supper, chicken pie or something like that. Everybody stop, have supper, and then intermission last about an hour, and then they go back and dance to morning. And of course that burned, but I think that burned when I was out in Ohio. But I remember that part, and farther I was up Montpellier that time, and I remember him coming home and changing his clothes, or a little later anyway. I think this is earlier when I first met him. Most all teams, and just getting a few cars in, and later on my father had a car, and remember him coming home and changing clothes to go. It was on Saturday morning, Friday night, and he used to head it Saturday, so he got up the stone shed to work that day. And wouldn't go to bed. They just
yeah.
They had him all over. They had him down here, number 9. They had him up Warren, the town hall. They'd have the school dance down there in Waitsfield, and Oddfellows Hall down there. And today. Of course, my hearing isn't what it was then. My father and I, one night, they had a concert or thing with a high school band and stuff down in Waitsfield, down in where the theater is now. It used to be the Oddfellows Hall. And my father and I sat up on the porch up there where Merle Johnson lives now. And it was a quiet night, And we could hear the music net up there, and that's 4 miles away. We couldn't, we could hear them singing. We couldn't quite make out the words, but we could hear them. And when we first come on the hill, we could hear a truck or anything going up the main road. Today it's much noise in the air, you can't hear it. We can hear the snow machine, the vibration in the house better than we can outside when they run that snow guns up there. And after the war, I said I owned Pop Millbrook Lodge, I was home. And no, just before I went in, I come back to California. And when I got back after the war, the water line was all shot. But they had a real good spring up behind where the little store is up down there, the facing store, they call it, up on the hill there. And it's a real nice spring, almost as good as the one I have. And we put a lead pipe in, well down there, it's easy to get then, it's all lead. And 1,900 feet down at the house. And there's such a fall to it, right down the bank, that we took a little shingle nail, put a hole in the pipe above, and it's much pressure, it'd come out a full pipe at the bottom. And we decided to go with the barn across the road. So Sterling, my father and I started digging. And we dug it all by hand, dug across the lawn, and when we got it, we rolled the pipe out, filled it over, and we started to cross the road. You didn't need any permit or anything in those days. We didn't cross the road, and the more eddies run the mill in, a couple of folks come along with a load of logs on just the street, a flatbed truck.